Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the band, see the boogity, the band, humble with the band. And it's, we are live in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, direct traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, shadoobie. Along with the original golf gangster himself, the ticket casher, the tater king, the sheet of integrity man of the hour. Harbor High this afternoon. Mafia running it with Luke. I am your father. The lineup on a misery Monday on C2C. Gabe Morenci a double shot from Vancouver this very hour. And within the hour, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, who joins us weekly. And then a double shot in the final hour today with Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider. Carver, hi. A lot of things happened over the weekend. A, Notre Dame got spanked at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend by the Huskies of Northern Illinois. Not only that, I had the 27.5 with the Huskies. And then, troubling developments in the jungle as the Patriots, under 4.5, takes a severe jolt, a 5.6 on the Richter scale as the Patriots beat the Bungles in the Queen City.
I guess there's a couple of ways to look at that one. And happy Monday to you, Scotty, as we are back here off of the big football weekend and we get ready for a Monday to talk about all of it on Coast to Coast. I think there's two ways to look at the Patriots side of things. Yes, that's not going to help the under 4.5, them winning the first game of the season on the road in Cincinnati. But on the flip side of the coin, if you're in a really big survivor pool, whether it's the biggest one in the land like the Circus Survivor or any survivor pool, the Bengals got smashed out. But, you know, like half of these pools got destroyed by the Bengals losing. So that's like a little bit of a bright. And I didn't have the Bengals, Scotty. So I feel I'm all right with everybody losing with the Bengals in all of those pools. So that was pretty good. And fine, you want to do Notre Dame first? What have I said to you for months? What have I said to you for months about this guy? I know he gets credit. He gets them up for big games. He's even good at that. He has now lost at home since he's been the head coach to Marshall, an awful Stanford team, and Northern Illinois. At home, at Notre Dame Stadium, he's been the coach 2 years and 2 weeks, and he's lost all three of those teams at home. He doesn't get that team ready for the games where they should win by 50. He never has them ready for those games, ever. They're always a sweat.
How is that even possible?
I don't know, but that's what's going to get him chopped after this season. You know, that's the problem. See, you can have the big win at Texas A&M, but you negate it and then some when you lose at home to Northern Illinois. It just doesn't. And he's out there today at his weekly press conference doing the whole, well, you know, we listen to the hype. You know, the players listen to the hype. Oh, yeah, well, it's your job to make sure they don't.
Right.
Listen to the hype. It's your job to make sure that they treat Northern Illinois the same way that they treated Texas A&M the week before that. That's why it's going to end poorly for Marcus Freeman and South Bend.
I actually heard someone on national television say on Sunday when they lost, and this is a guy with credibility that's been doing – not only doing college football for 30 years, but has been played college football. This guy is a monster. And he said they can only get better from here, the Fighting Irish. And I literally I literally spit out my drink, and I went, get better? I go, wait. So they're going to build off of this and, like, get better from it? It's going to make them better? I still haven't gotten over hearing it. I've had to call a shrink. I had to call a shaman. I had to, you know, say, light a candle. Listen, here's a newsflash for you. Where I come from, I don't come from that side of the river that, well, they'll get better from here. They'll learn from this. They'll just adjust. I'm not from that side of the river. I'm from this side of the river that says, well, if they lost to them, they ain't done losing. They're not done losing. Do you remember when they beat A&M? They literally, the national media said, oh, now they're just going to run the tables. They're the five seed in the playoff automatic. Like, are you effing kidding me?
Now, look, because of this new system, they're not done per se. Because now in this new system, one loss, even as bad a loss as that one, if you win the rest of your games, you're probably still going to get in.
They're not doing that.
What are they? I agree with you. Oh, I don't think they're going to run the table, but they're going to sell you that same thing that it's still all, you know, it's like the Aaron Boone line. It's still all right in front of them. It's still right in front of them. If they win all their games, they're going to be there. What'd they fall to? 15th or 16th in the 18th. In the dopey AP poll? 18th they fell to, but that's still, like, if they win all their games, it's manageable, and everybody will forget that they lost in early September to Northern Illinois, but you shouldn't. Because it says something.
I don't believe that.
There's a lot of those
games
on the schedule. There's a lot of those games on the schedule this year for Notre Dame. A lot of games like that.
Here's another one. Okay, so they're playing at the Coliseum against USC to end their season in Los Angeles, and you're going to lose to them. Like, is they're good enough to beat Notre Dame right now, today? And they got a quarterback. And obviously, Notre Dame doesn't. And let me tell you another thing. Let me tell you another thing that's coming up here for Morency. They don't have a quarterback either, Michigan. Like that.
Oh, I know.
That Warren Kennedy sucks. I mean, they're terrible. And remember, I told you, I said 1,000 times, they don't have their coach. They don't have a quarterback. And I don't care how many guys went to the NFL. It's going to hurt you no matter what. Yeah. And then they're like, and he said it too. Oh, they got 3 or 4 other guys that are going to the NFL. What year since before Christ has Michigan not had 4 or 5 guys go to the NFL? Every year since I've been alive, they've had 5 guys go to the NFL out of every single senior class or whatever it is. Whoever's leaving Michigan to go pro, they go pro. They don't go, play in the, whatever the hell they call it, the SFL, the NFL, West, CFL. I can't keep track. United Football League. I can't keep track of it all.
Look, that's the thing. That was the one thing that Michigan couldn't have happen is if they get down multiple scores, this Michigan team isn't built to come back from 14, 20 points down and be able to get a win. They need to control the ball. They need to control clock. And with Texas scoring, they weren't able to do that. So we're going to go through everything for today. We'll go through all the NFL pain day from Sunday. We've got a game tonight in San Francisco to finish week one between the Niners and the Jets. We'll talk about both of our teams. Hey, that was as Pittsburgh Steeler as it gets on Sunday afternoon in Atlanta. And this is all the talk today is about the quarterbacks, right? And Tomlin's going to talk about the quarterbacks.
And Wilson.
There's only one reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers ever win football games, and that's T.J. Watt. He's the reason that the Pittsburgh Steelers win football games because that guy was an absolute animal for the Steelers yesterday. And that is why they won. Not, but they kicked 6 field goals, okay? They kicked 6 field goals yesterday. They won because T.J. Watt is the best defensive player in the NFL. Full stop. Done. It's not any Micah Parsons, Garrett, and the other guy who wouldn't quit, Aaron Donald. He's gone out to T.J. Watt is the best defensive player in the NFL, and there's no one close to him in my eyes. Nobody.
And listen,
close.
Your Bills, you were right about him. That, and I think Morency was too. That 6 in the hook was too big.
Too big. But I'll tell you this: you saw something yesterday, and the people are already starting to chatter. If Allen has this huge year with this supporting cast, he might win the MVP this year. If he wins games and he has huge news, he might. Whoa, if they win 11, 12 games and he plays like that,
there's no more digs. Deep dive.
There's no more digs. There's no more defense. If Allen's going to be like that, he's going to be on full display and have a chance to win that award for him.
Hey, I've always said he's a badass. I got no problem with that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 Eastern along all of our outlets, streaming networks, TV stations, satellite radio, channel 159 on SiriusXM, Sports Byline USA, and all of their radio affiliates. And you get Gabe twice on a double shot every day on C2C. Thank God for that from Vancouver. One of us is always in Vegas. Gabe was just in Vegas tearing it up, getting into all of the contests and survivor pools and everything else in Sin City. And now this
I survived week one,
Vegas.
Scott.
Hold on, what?
I survived week one, baby. On to week two.
All right, so I want to get into that. I'm going to be there Thursday and Friday this week from the MGM Grand for Canelo Berlanga. The fight is Saturday night at the T-Mobile Arena. So check us out, C2C Thursday and Friday from Vegas. So my question to you is this. I saw the numbers of the Circus Survivor contest. Like 5,000 people were eliminated with the Bengals loss.
34% of the entries were eliminated with the Cincinnati Bengals losing to the New England Patriots. And we can't say it was really a shock, to be honest. The Bengals have started off the season slow over the years, historically, right? You know, their offensive line usually struggles. Joe Burrow's usually not 100%. Ironically enough, Burrow had a pretty smooth training camp, but it still imploded on them. So 34%, Scott, eliminated. And 24% were on the Seattle Seahawks, and Denver looked good in the first half. It was like, wow, this actually, we might have a second massive upset, but Seattle put the hammer down in the second half and ended up getting it done, Scott. $14.2 million on the line right now. You got to go 20-0. You can't take the same team twice. If you can pull it off, you're going to be a rich man.
Who did you pick?
I took the Buffalo Bills. Scott. And the reason I took the Bills was, as we stated, you can't take the team again. If you look at the Buffalo Bills schedule, they have no cupcakes, Scott. They have no layups, bro. You know, they're playing Miami this week. Off the top of my head, I think they host the Jags next Sunday, two Sundays from now. They go to Houston. They play both. Like, it's just one game after another where it's like, oh, God, that's a toss-up. Oh, God, that's a hard one. Kansas City, whatever. Buffalo have a really hard schedule. So the only other game, Scott, where I would have taken Buffalo would have been against the New England Patriots. And they don't play the Patriots until week 15 and 17. They played them in the second to, like, the last 3 weeks of the season. The Bills played the Patriots twice. I can't wait. I can't worry about being alive that long, Scott. 34% are out right now, right? So I didn't want to get Captain Obvious. And Cincinnati, I was like, good. Everyone didn't take Cincinnati. I hope they lose. But it's tricky again this week, bro. It's tough. You know what I mean? Like, you look at the NFL card, there's no locks. Every lock, there's a key. We see that in college football as well, Scott. You guys were talking about the Notre Dame loss to Northern Illinois. Expect more of it. I know it sounds cliche and corny to say this, and I'm the least, you know, cliche and corny guy out there, but it's like college basketball, Scott. The gap isn't as big as people think.
I don't know.
It is,
when we're drinking together, we've been known to be corny. I mean, honestly, like you and I together drunk, there's some cornball.
Look, it can happen.
Going on.
It can happen. But I'll tell you what, like Notre Dame and Northern Illinois, there's not a 28-point gap. Like the odds were stupid. It was off. Like, you know what I mean? You saw they were 28-point favorites. They shouldn't have been 20. They should have been 14-point favorites.
Right.
But, like, the gap is not as big, you know, as people think. And another thing is, in this modern college football, big-time programs going to lose games, man. It's going to happen. I told everyone that was laughing at FSU in week one, don't worry, your team will bite the bullet. My guys, we got punched in the mouth. It happens. But at least we got punched in the mouth by an elite team. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'll give you that.
Lost to Texas. Got to regroup. Okay. Got to regroup. One thing with Michigan, they're back on track this week against Arkansas State. They have another week to sort of tune this thing up. And then, Scott, we'll find out. If Michigan in 2 weeks, USC play their first ever Big Ten game, and it's at the Big House, and it's as big as it gets, USC, right. Michigan, it's Texas all over again, Big Fox game in a week, blah, blah, blah. They're hyping it up in USC, our first ever Big Ten game at the Big House. And as you know, bro, USC are freaking good, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think they're better than the Carolina Panthers are. Yeah, they're good, good. Michigan, if Michigan plays the way they did against Texas, USC is going to do the same thing to them, if not worse.
Yeah.
So you got 2 weeks to regroup, Scott. But if Michigan grinds through this, shows up in 2 weeks, gets a W against USC, they're right back on track. Right, yeah. There's a lot of football left, but there's a lot of ifs in the air here, Scott. I got to tell you that about this Michigan team right now.
Listen, I mean, honestly, like, their quarterback sucks.
Well,
yeah.
The thing with Davis Warren, Scott, that's his second career start, bro. Like, we don't live in an era.
Games, he looks terrible.
Yeah, but you know, we don't live in an era. So what? You give a kid 2 weeks, 1 week, and then you move on to the next guy.
I give a kid 2 weeks when he's taking on guys like Quinn Ewers and this kid Moss.
No,
that's what I know. Sure, he's going to beat Arkansas State. You would think, but listen, against good quarterbacks, I think with Davis, you know, I'm not going to take Michigan.
With Davis Warren, would I have liked that this would have been planned out better? That they would have had a blue chip. They got blue chips in the wings for next year coming.
Right.
But they went the loyalty train here, which maybe isn't good, Scott. In football, maybe it's good to be callous, right? Look at the Raptors. They threw DeMar DeRozan under the bus. I was like, I can't believe you did that. They won the championship because they did it. They were like, Kawhi's better than he is. We got Kawhi. So maybe in hindsight, Michigan could have got a transfer portal. They said, nah, we got our guys. But where I'm going with Warren is the kid has played. He played 7 high school games. He was like a big 5-star recruit in high school. He got leukemia. He played 7 high school games, and now he's played 2 games. The kid's played like 9 games in his freaking life. So we got to give him some time here, but he's going to have to get better. Like, he looks a step behind. I'm not disputing it.
Listen, that's the problem, is that I'm not doubting his talent. Everybody knows how talented he was in California, in high school, et cetera. They know about his health. It's just that obviously the schedule makers have given them 2 brutal tests, even though they're at home at the house in Ann Arbor. Those are brutal tests against guys that have already proven that they can light up anybody. So that's my worry, is that he needed more time to have to face such tough teams. He's not good enough yet in the Michigan system or as a college quarterback to prove it. When we come back, I got to ask him more about how far he's gone in this provider in the past.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is my boy Morenci with us every day, a double shot from Vancouver, and he just informed me that 45 people forgot to put their pick in at all for the Survivor contest at Circa on Sunday. How stupid do you have to be to sign up for a dime to be in the Survivor contest and then you forget to do your pick?
In week one, Scott. In week one. Like the first. It's funny because we were talking about it before and we were like, you know, there'll be a couple of people who don't get their pick in. And we were joking on the show about why. And I didn't want to be ghoulish about it. And I said, wow. 14,000 people sign up. It's not a, you know, I mean, it's not surprising if 1 or 2 people die. You know, I'm just saying.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, all right. So that's 1 or 2, Scott. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like,
fair enough.
We were just sort of being morbid and having fun with it. I'm like, listen, I don't know. Maybe a couple of people get in a car accident. Somebody dies before.
Right.
I don't know. Like, you know, but like 45, though, Scott? Like, you know,
that's bad.
I'd love to do like a documentary. Like, if I had the money, I'd track these people down. So tell me what happened. What's your story?
How'd you have this up?
Yeah. How did you? Well, I went to a Metallica show last night. I'm supposed to get
That's possible.
Like, no, but Scott, it's not like we've all done it. I'm going to put my hand up. We've all done it. Fantasy football, right? I'm like, son of a bitch. I didn't change my team this morning. Fine. Oh. It's fantasy football. Scott, you put $1,000 in. You would
figure,
45,000 in torch fees, and there'll be more this week. And as we go on, it'll just be another 23 people didn't get the pick in. So hey, it is what it is. Hey, good. We get the money. The money, every dollar goes to the participants. So $14.2 million. Got, you know what's really tricky about it, though? Though it's hard to win, but they also make you play the Black Friday games as a separate week. Thanksgiving is a separate week. So that's why it's 20 weeks. So, like, you've got to save the team, Scott. So think about that. Like, you got, like, I can't, okay, let's just say, hypothetically, I take the Dallas, you want to take the Dallas Cowboys this week. Okay, fine, take Dallas Cowboys at home this week. I can't take them now on Thanksgiving. I don't have them for the rest of the year. And if you don't save teams for Thanksgiving, you're going to get eliminated because I already took them. I took them. So you've got to look ahead to the Christmas games and the Thanksgiving and say, oh, man, I can't take these six teams. You got to be smart. Like,
so
it's
let me
not
ask you, how's the – so what's the – I know you've won money before on the other side in the spreads.
Yep.
Contest with the five spreads per week, and I know you've walked away with a bunch of bands there, and you've won a Survivor private run 1 year and won a bunch of cash there. But in terms of, let's say, I know this is your first Circa Survivor, but like, what's the biggest Vegas one that you ever played Survivor, and what's the furthest you've ever gone in a heavyweight Survivor, like in Vegas?
This is
It's got, this is the only one.
This is it, baby. This is it. And as far as I've gone, and I haven't played, I haven't been a diehard Survivor player over the years. I'll get in, you know, if I have a chance. Yeah, all right, I'll enter this one or that one. But I did win, man, and I went 15-0. So we went 15 weeks, and everyone got eliminated. I was the last one standing, and it was total luck. Like, I even remember the game. It was like the Atlanta Falcons blocked, like, an extra point late in the game.
They were up 25 actually, in the Super Bowl.
And returned it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was sort of like, wow, I got really lucky there. But you got to be lucky. It is what it is. But you know, it's a great dream, Scott. You know, $14 million, and you have a better chance of winning this than the lottery, right? The lottery's like one in, you know, 17 million chance. You play a lottery ticket, you have like a 1 in 17 million chance of winning. This is only now. There's like 10,000 people left. After this week, there'll be 5,000 people left, right? So you actually control your own destiny here.
Right.
And, you know, I'll be honest, Scott, what I'm really hoping for is that I can go kind of deep enough that I can start to sort of hedge things. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of my goal. I'm like, man, if I can get to like week 14, week 15, I'll take a Survivor pick and just put like $20,000 on the other team all the time. And I'll just keep riding this out for the rest of the year. Right. So my mind is spinning a little bit here after week one. But, you know, I'm having fun with it, Scott. And I got to lock in week two.
Okay, what is your play for tonight with the Jets and Niners?
Wow. Well, full disclosure, I don't like the New York Jets, so I have a hard time betting on them.
Right.
I just don't like them. I don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I don't like anything about them. I think Salah's a bad coach. So, you know what? The problem is underdogs on Monday Night Football in week one, guys, cover 68% of the time. 41-19 dogs on Monday Night Football in week one, Scott. But with all that being stated, Niners win tonight.
There you have it. All right, Marinsky, we'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Good stuff.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Mike DeCourcy's with the Sporting News, the legendary writer. You can see him on Fox Sports and Big Ten Network as well during the college basketball season. You see him here on C2C every week. Mike, good to see you. First things first, I want to get your opinion of, we were talking earlier, Carver High laying the lumber on Mr. Watt. The job that guy does for the Steelers, rushing the quarterback, he's the reason they win football games. He's like the entire reason they win football games.
He's a huge part of it. There's no doubt it. I wasn't anticipating this, but I will tell you that their record when he actually plays versus when he's injured and absent, the disparity is staggering. I mean, they are basically a 250 football team without him and about a 700 or so football team with him. He is a game changer. And, of course, in Pittsburgh, there's a lot of consternation, has been since the end of last season, about the fact that he was not named Defensive Player of the Year a year ago when he led the league in sacks and was his typical force because he didn't have a high enough pass rush win rate. How about that, Scott? Not high enough pass rush win rate. It's not easy to say that two times in a row, and it's really hard to figure how anybody could think that's more important than actually sacking the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, what's next? Is exit velocity? I really can't keep track of all this stuff. Like, so let me ask you this.
Don't get me started on exit, D-Lo.
Yeah, I had I don't know if you saw this article. I know you wrote an article about Deion Sanders, and I read an article about him today where alleged executives in football, in the NFL, were actually critiquing him as a coach at Colorado. And basically, neither one of them thought he could coach. And in not so many words, one of them said, all he's doing at Colorado is promoting his son to make a lot of money in the NFL. That's all he's doing. He doesn't coach he doesn't make him better at tackling, blocking, passing, running, winning. He does nothing well at all. And I have to tell you, at some level, I almost bought into all of it because it's true.
Well, I think it's more complicated than that because a head coach at the NFL level or the college football level is not really that much getting you out there and saying, this is how you tackle guys or this is how you throw the down and out or whatever. It's really much more complicated than that. There's so much more involved that a head coach of any college sport is basically a head coach and a general manager at the same time. That's the way college sports has been structured for its entirety. And it may change at some point because of NIL and revenue sharing and all the other things that are coming into college sports. But for now, the first and most important part of the college head coach's job is get good players. That's the first and most important job. And whether or not he's getting enough good players still remains to be seen. But what Deion did when he went into Colorado and said, okay, everybody out, so in so many words, not everybody, but you get my drift, he changed the math. He's not getting the time from the public and from the media to build the way most coaches have in the past, because he's the one that changed the math on it. He's the one that said, I'm going to completely turn over this roster or nearly turn over this entire roster. I'm going to bring in mostly new players, and we're going to do my way. And it worked for 3 weeks, and it hasn't worked since. They beat a FCS team in week one. That was their first win of the season. It's only their second win since they started 3-0 in 2023. They have only beaten one major college football team since that 3-0 start. There's a lot left to be desired. And what I criticized him for was his decision to not take this particular journalist, Sean Keeler, on personally, which it's happened to me. I know it's happened to you, Scott. We've all gotten in the sights of a head coach at some point or other and been called out. And in some cases, they were right. In some cases, maybe they weren't, or they were just defending their players and program. But in this case, instead of doing that himself, he ran to his bosses, Deion did. And I can't respect that. I can't respect that. It's a person-to-person thing. If you have a problem with the way you're being covered by a particular journalist, you handle it personally. And I can't respect leading Colorado to have to declare that Sean Keeler wouldn't be allowed to ask football questions at press conferences. I just can't abide that.
So just before I get back into Deion, don't let me forget Deion, because I have to, at least before I forget, tell you some of the people that have dressed me down. One, Bob Knight, many times. In 5 years, I was, let's just say, undressed by Bob Knight. Just undressed. I mean, this guy, he'll ruin your, like, take your soul out of your chest and sell it to Russians. Secondly, Chuck Knoll dressed me down once. And third, Myron Cope. So I'm driving with Myron one day, and he said to me, he goes, listen, you need to shut up. He said, and then Beano Cook one day I'm at dinner with Bino and my father in Pittsburgh, and he said, "Do you think you get paid by the word or something?" And I, so those are just a couple of the coaches that and powerful figures that I've had dress me down, so to say. So going back to Deion Sanders, at the very least, like, he's not like they're not good. They right. don't win. I don't dispute that Hunter and Sanders are going to be good pros. I think they're both going to the NFL without a doubt, but that is not a good football program. So, you know, and I don't care what he did at Jackson State. I really don't. Like, that is meaningless to me. No one, like, I don't know anyone that cares about that, what he did there. You can talk all you want about it. That I just don't consider it great football. Thank you. And then when you go to Colorado and you act like some kind of big shot, like, to me, that's like minor league football. Okay. Then you go into the Pac-12 and that's big time. Now you're in the Big 12. That's big time. And in the big time job, and I think he's the most exciting player I ever watched in my life play football, but he's not a good coach. I'm sorry. They don't win. The teams are terrible.
Well, he's only had, remember, he's only had one season, and it was his first season taking over a 1-11 team. Remember, they did win three more games than they had the prior year, so they made a significant improvement. But as I said, he's the one that chose to change the dynamic by absolutely, completely, nearly completely revamping the Colorado roster 5 minutes after he walked in the door. He's the one that said that. He didn't give a lot of the guys a serious look and say, okay, what can we work with this here? He just basically said the door's there to a lot of players. And I think that really sort of, again, it upsets some people, but it also doesn't seem unfair to say, okay, if that's how we're going to play it here, then you got to get better faster. And he's only had two games this year, and maybe by the end of the year, they're 12-1. Maybe. Who knows? But he's got a long way to go from what we saw on Saturday night in Nebraska. They were clearly the inferior to the Huskers.
I will keel over if they win the rest of their games. That is not happening. They just aren't that good. Now, look, he made his bed. Now he's got to lie in it. That's another way of looking at it. He made all these guys. There's the door. See you later. We're looking for these kind of players here at Colorado. Then he brought them all in, and they still lost. He lost the entire team last year, brought in another entire new team this year, and they still keep losing. And that's just all there is to it. Mike, great stuff. Have a great week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Trevor, hi. Back to football. I have to tell you that, you know, as you know, like, I think it was Friday, I told you there's the one thing I wanted to see over the weekend was, more than anything else, was Matt Stafford to go back to Ford Field and to long arm the Lions. Like, just go in with a, you know, the long arm of the law, walking tall, your guy with the nightstick, with the 2x4, go into Ford Field and beat Goff and the Lions and Dan Campbell and everybody's favorite Super Bowl bet. And that they're just the greatest team ever, and that they can't be denied the NFC Championship and Super Bowl after they choked it away last year. I'm sick of hearing about them, to be honest with you. They've never done anything ever. They have never done anything ever. That's all I know. And then he had them right where he wanted them. Like, he had them right where he wanted them. They came back with two scores in the fourth, whatever it was. They were down. They came back. They took a lead, no less, and then they blew it. They let them go down and kick the tire, and then they lose to them in overtime. Their defense in that overtime was pathetic.
The defense was absolutely pathetic in overtime, Scotty. Basically, the deal here was the Lions built a 17-3 lead early in the third quarter after the Jameson Williams, who had a great game, by the way. First great game he's really had with the Lions. 17-3. Rams get it, come all the way back, take the 20-17 lead. They let him go down the field to tie it. And you know what, Scotty? The Rams had a lot of opportunities in the first half where they didn't get points. You had Stafford throwing the pick in the end zone. You had a couple of other instances where they could have got points. They lost Puka Shells in this game as well, so they didn't have. But Cup was excellent in half number two. The problem is Stafford did not even see the ball in overtime because the Lions got it first, and they basically just rammed David Montgomery right down the Rams' throat all the way to the goal line, and this is how it finished. Lions Radio, 97, won the ticket in Detroit.
Takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, end zone, touchdown, yes. Detroit Lions!
Yes.
This game is over! Pack it up, boys, we're going home! It's an opening night victory for the Lions! They come from behind in the final minute and tie it, they take the ball in overtime, and march 70 yards down the field and win it.
Listen, I'll give the guy credit. At least he's got energy calling a great game, an overtime game, and a big win for his team, obviously. I'm very cautious for him. I don't know who it is. I don't even want to know who it is. No one needs to remind me who it is doing the game. I just am, here's a foreshadowing for him. You know, prepare yourself for, you know, settle into the future, because the future has always been the same for the Detroit Lions. Okay, I this talk of them winning everything, and they're just, I have never, it's like veiled threats from some little dude. Like, I played basketball with this one guy one day, he started up with me. This little dude's like 5'4", giving me the business. I'm like, bro, I'm 6'4", 240 pounds, and I will truck you. This is not going to go well for you. Prepare yourself, Lions fans, because the same thing that always happens to you will happen again. It's the same. Ask Mafia. Hey, Mafia, how's that thing going with your Jets? Like, you know, the last, like, your whole life thing. Yeah, the whole life. The whole life. Yeah, he just said to me in my ear, it's your whole life. Teams that never get it done, never get it done. So celebrate all you want, your big week one win. In overtime, you blew the game, and then you got it done because you guys are just so great. I mean, you're going to win the Super Bowl, right? They never win the Super Bowl. They had their chance last year. You're up 90, and you lose. I mean, honestly, it was the worst choke. I don't know which one's worse, the Falcons or them. I don't know which one was worse. I really don't. Hate me all you want. Blame me all you want. Tell your mother you don't like me. See how, like, I just lose so much sleep. I'm over here like I'm a crybaby over here.
There are, as we like to always remind everybody, there are certain franchises in every sport.
That, and they're one of them.
It doesn't matter. It always ends the same way. You know, we put all those teams in that same pot, whether that's the Lions, the Jets, the Clippers are in that pot. You know, there's a lot of teams that are in that pot.
My team's been to 8 Super Bowls. They won 6 of
that's
them.
That's
you
a different
talk
pot.
To me. Don't talk to me about my team. Let's talk about your team. How about these people? Have you ever seen anything like it? The ones in Cleveland and all the rest that start, you know, this conversation.
Cleveland too.
They start talking about the 50s. Like, we want an NFL
draft
in the 50s.
NFL championships.
50s. Yeah. Like, can you imagine? Like, you're not allowed to talk about the 50s over here right now on this thing.
Can't do it.
Honestly.
No, we're not going to do that. We mentioned to you that Puka Nacua did leave that game, Scotty. Latest update, Puka Shells, bad news for the Rams. Still undergoing some additional testing, considered week to week. Aggravated his summer knee injury.
He's doomed. He's got something wrong with his knee, okay?
Well, that's
this is not going away, Mike. He's going to have surgery at some point. You just have to fess up. All this secrecy, and they're checking it out, and it's a lingering. No, he's got a problem, and it's reared its ugly head again. You know what sucks is he's a great player. He really is exciting. Yes. And now I have a bad feeling about that knee.
You should. He's one of those guys. That's another injury. It's like those other ones you talk about. It's one that it's going to linger all year. You know, it's just going to be a problem unless he doesn't play for 2 months straight and gets himself completely rehabbed. But when they're going to try to do the week-to-week thing with
and
him,
there's nothing worse, Mike, than a bad knee.
Yes.
Like, listen, so I have a let me tell you real quick. Time out. I got 5 left. I have, like, a groin thing going on right now. I don't mean to tell you. Like, so when I play through it, I play. And it's the weirdest thing. When I'm playing, it's not really a problem. It's when I'm done playing. I mean to tell you, I can't even lift my leg to, like, walk. Here's me walking now. I can't even move my leg. It's like I have like a dead leg because it's shooting into my satchel page area. And I mean to tell you, it'll make a man out of you. Like, I can't even get up off of the sofa. I'm like, I rock. I got to start rocking to get enough motion to stand up. You have a bad knee. You have a bad knee. Okay. Bad knees are agony. You cannot cut, run, stop, jump. You can't do anything with a bad knee. I mean, you are done. Bad knees, done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, Mike, the Vegas, you got the Canelo fight and you got the Noche at Sphere, the UFC event going on same night, same city. But let's get real here for a second. That place, even though it's the most amazing thing I've ever been in, it really is the best thing I've ever been in, that Sphere. It was really the coolest thing I've ever experienced. But it's not that big. I mean, it's big for like when you're standing there and you're like, wow, this thing's unbelievable. It's huge. But not that many people can get in there. It's not, it's like, I don't know exactly what the number is, I'm being honest, but I don't think it's any more than 16,000. I mean, it's like, at one point, I think the Civic Arena, the Igloo in Pittsburgh was like 17,000 seats, 16,000 seats. It wasn't that big. It was loud because it was a giant cone and it was really loud in there. It was, the Sphere is not some 30,000-40,000 people experience. I think I was at that Dead show. It was like 14,000 people there. I could be wrong. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. Like, I don't think it's that big. Yeah, the T-Mobile's bigger than that Sphere. Right? I'm pretty sure. Listen, people can say whatever they want. The what?
The Dead show was sold out that you went to.
Oh, the Dead show was sold out. Believe me, you know, all of the Dead shows are sold out. But so were the U2 shows and the Eagles shows. Now, people may not be smart enough. You know, if 45 people forgot to put in their survivor pick this week, then there's got to be somebody that doesn't know what Noche means.
a lot of big events this week out in Vegas. Lots of events, that's for sure. Let's do a little bit of Steelers. We'll probably have to carry this over to the top of the hour, but Steelers beat the Falcons 18-10 yesterday. Six field goals for Chris Boswell. First kicker in Steelers history with three or more of 50 or longer in a game. So a hell of a game for Boswell in that aspect. Here's TJ Watt's stat line, Scotty. Four tackles, one sack, two tackles for loss, three quarterback hits, and he recovered a fumble. And I'm not going to lie to you, I don't even think that does it justice with how impactful.
What are the numbers? Say those numbers again. Say them again.
Four tackles, one sack. It felt like he had five. Two tackles for loss, three quarterback hits, and he recovered a fumble in the game. Like I said, I think he actually did more than that, and the stat sheet jobbed him. I felt like he had a bigger impact on the game, right. And that still sounds like a lot, including on this. Cousins threw two picks in this game. Watt was right on him on both of them, but this was the big one, the second one that he threw here in the fourth quarter on Fox.
Cousins from a collapsing pocket throws an interception. Dante Jackson. It is Steelers' debut inside the 20. He dropped an interception in the first half. If given the choice, he'd say, I'd probably take this one. In the fourth quarter, returns at 48 yards.
I gotta tell you, all that money they gave Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, I would be vomiting right now if I were Arthur Blank. Seriously, because like my buddy is down there giving me the business. He's like, don't worry, you guys have Art Smith. You're not beating us. You got Art Smith now. You got the Art Smith experience. So good luck beating us this week. And I'm like, listen, you guys have never recovered from the Super Bowl choke, and you never will. You guys stink. You got a great quarterback, and you still stink. You pay that guy, what, $140-some million, something like that they gave him? And he's they scored once. They scored one touchdown. That was it. So, like, you're paying for all that. You know what? You should have done, as far as I'm concerned right now, is and they can't, but I'd be playing Penix. You already paid this guy all this money, and you score once? Like, honestly, you guys are – you know what you still are? You're still Art Smith. We got him, but you're still really playing is. Like him.
You know, they used their guys a lot more. You know, that was the problem when Smith was there, was that Pitts and Bijan Robinson – those guys got burned, but they didn't score any points. And give the Steeler D credit. The Steeler D was outstanding yesterday in the Dome against Atlanta. But we'll come back and we'll talk about quickly the quarterback side of things, because as I said to you last week, Fields starts and he wins could make it a little tougher on Tomlin, but he didn't get any touchdowns, Scotty. They were all field goals. So maybe that opens the door for Tomlin to say we're going back to Russ if he's healthy. This coming week in Pittsburgh.
Who knows? I don't think either one of them are enough to, you know, write home about. I really don't. Like, you know, I'll be lucky if they win any games with either one of them. I mean, let's face facts. They both kind of stink.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.